You're listening to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast, session 14.
Welcome to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast with Alyssa Dare Nelson, where we blow up the myth that you're meant to be well-rounded and independent. Here, we uncover what makes you uniquely awesome while also giving you actionable insights in to fill those gaps of the not-so-awesome. You are perfectly lopsided. Own it. Now let's dive in.
Well, hey, welcome to this live coaching session on the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur. I cannot wait to introduce our guest today. We have two of them. Yay! It is a married couple. When you guys know how I feel about marriage and healthy marriage especially, and their mission on this planet, man, is it huge and worthy. And so I can't wait to give them this platform and chat about how frickin' awesome they are, not only individually, but together as well. So, without further ado, we have Patrick and Sam Cullinane. And these two have been married for lots and lots of years. But for the first 10 years, they really struggled. This is what they tell me. You would not be able to tell that now because their marriage is beautiful. I got to meet them in person at a conference that I was at, the New Media Summit, in September of 2017, and immediately fell in love with not them as individuals, more so them together. I'm super proud of the relationship I have with my husband, Joel, and their marriage. You could tell that they have that same kind of just absolute agape, romantic, all of the different kinds of love between them. So you'll be able to find them at biggerlove.com. But without further ado, and without me gushing all that much about them, Sam and Patty, welcome to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur. How are you guys today?
Hi, Alyssa. Thanks for having us. I'm great.
I'm doing well.
Awesome. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do, what you've already put out in this world, and what your mission is?
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah. We've done a lot of things.
So, like you said, the marriage is the tale of two different decades. The second 10 years, we got our crap together and learned a ton about ourselves and about our marriage and how to make it work. And we've kind of been studies of that. And it's an ongoing process. We're not perfect. We still have a lot more to learn, which is why we're here, which is awesome. That is what kind of what prompted us to write the book. So we had a lot of people asking us, how did you guys turn the corner? And it's also a stepping stone towards kind of a bigger vision that we have. We believe the meaning of life is love. And that if you look at anything that's wrong with the world, you can usually peel back the layers and discover that there's not enough love. And that's why it is wrong. So our mission and our go forward, the Bigger Love movement, is to basically define the meaning of life. We want to make a documentary movie and another book that will go alongside of that, where we travel around and interview as many iconic people on the planet that we can from all walks of life and religions, and just get it like a 5-minute definition of what love means to them, and then kind of tie all that together. And interview kids along the way too, because they have kind of an unadulterated version of everything.
Yeah, don't they? Yep. They do. And there's so much media impact. And the relationships that are modeled out there are oftentimes not super healthy either. But yeah, so the book, ladies and gents, that Patty was just talking about is their first book, Bigger Love, How to Have the Love of Your Life for the Rest of Your Life. And I had a chance to read it. It is phenomenal. And it does talk about how you turned that corner from what wasn't an optimal relationship to now what is, albeit an imperfect, right? Because, you know, I mean, perfect is no fun anyway. Like we're always growing. And if you ever think you've arrived, that's when you know you're in the biggest trouble, right? Like when, because what, if you think you've arrived, that breeds complacency. And a really healthy, right? And yeah. And a really great marriage can't have space for complacency. That's my opinion. I'm just going to throw my opinions all in here as well.
I agree.
But I'm super curious because Patty, you said that love is the answer. Love is the root of it all. I would love to hear, and maybe we can hear from Sam on this, what is your definition of love? Because love has so many different meanings, and there's, you know, as I talked about, agape love and romantic love, and there's all these different kinds of love. What is love to you?
Man, it is all those things. I mean, I think at the heart of it, it is, I don't know if you can use one word to describe it. And like you said, in our book, we break it down and we say, God, you love is a word that we use to describe so like many feelings. And in Greek, it's nice because the Greeks have a number of words for love. I mean, we say love, I love pizza, and yeah. I love you. My husband. Mm. Yeah. We love you too, Alyssa. Those are all different kinds of love, you know?
They all are different.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if you can, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about trying to define it is what is it? It's so complex. I don't know if I could even answer the question in 5 minutes. I think it's forgiveness. I think mm-hmm. it's acceptance.
I can do a shortcut for you.
Okay, go ahead.
It's almost impossible to define it in what I think, you know, a few sentences, which is why we want to do a 2-hour documentary and mm-hmm. write an entire book about it, because everybody's going to have kind of a different answer. And so we have 100 answers ourselves, and you probably have a bunch as well. So, but just thinking about that, acting on it, and being loving is love. So,
yeah. Compassion is the first word that comes to mind for me.
Humility.
Yeah. Empathy, right? Trust. All of those things.
There
are so many things. And I think it also depends on what each person's love language is, right? Because they feel love in a different way than maybe another person. And that can be a challenge too. One of the things that I love about the StrengthsFinder profile is, of course, I use it with all of my clients, and we're going to be talking a bit about your strengths as well today and about how those uniquely wire you to do what you guys do together and apart, to be the yin and the yang of your marital relationship and your business relationship. But, you know, one of the things that I love about StrengthsFinder is that it allows space for you to not have to think like me, and I can still respect it, honor it, and be curious about it, to look and see what value can you bring because you think differently, because you're wired differently. And it provides an entire new conversation around really being empowering and, again, not having to do it all on your own. So you guys have done lots of things separately, and this is really your joint venture. As individuals, and I'll just quickly read through each of your top five, and their top five strengths will be on the show notes page, so you can look at it up there if you want to look at their strengths. But Sam, your top five are positivity, learner, focus, futuristic, and harmony. Pat, yours are woo, relator, positivity, belief, and futuristic. So you share positivity and futuristic in your top five. So this euphoric sort of dream goal that you guys have about quashing the divorce rate, not just, you know, moving the needle a little bit, but really crushing it, you know, and really finding world peace. Like that right there, those two ideals come from your positivity futuristic. And will we as a collective human race achieve that in the next 40 years? Probably not. However, we have to be willing to shoot to that goal. And so I love that you both are engaging strengths that you have similarly, but then also as you fill in each other's gaps with the strengths that you each don't have, it really makes it a beautiful combination. So I'm curious what you guys think is the best thing you bring to the table to both your marital relationship and your business relationship, and in the same breath, what the other person brings that you so appreciate that's different from you.
It's funny because I think my positivity and my futuristic, I do think those are my best qualities that mm-hmm. I bring to most of my relationships. But I will say from a business perspective, I think my focus, my ability to focus and get stuff done is a huge win.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And as far as Patty's go, I love his woo. And that's a quality that I don't even think I have any of that influencer. Isn't that the influencer?
Yeah. Yep.
Category.
Who is influencing. Yeah. So kind of you influence over other people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't even have any of those. So in my top five. So I love that about Patty.
Yeah. Very cool. And Patty, how about you?
So the focus is definitely something that I've needed when I've had several businesses, and it wasn't until much later in our marriage that I was always one of those guys that said, there's no way in hell I could ever work with my wife. And, but when I got out of my own way and brought her in and focused on her strengths, which one of which was focus and getting things done, because I walk around the office in woo state, just thinking everybody will get done what needs to be done. And, anyway, so that is something that helped us a ton in our business and helped us turn a corner. What's funny is, and I'm trying to think, maybe you can help me on this, because the Sam's really also very grounding. You know, when I spiral off into something, I tend to I'm Irish, and somebody told me this joke a long time ago. I'll be real quick, but Irish, it's called Irish Alzheimer's. You forget everything except the grudge. So I'm mad. I don't know why I don't like him. I just don't like him.
Yeah. But, you know, what's so funny is that woo futuristic. So I talk a lot about how our strengths kind of blend together to make their own little, basically new strengths. I call them strengths babies because, well, I mean, we can all get where that comes from. And so positivity futuristic can, you know, paint this beautiful euphoric, you know, future, right? And you can be very clear about that. And Sam, I will also say positivity has this ability to bring energy into a room, which can act as an influencing theme. So, you know, even though you don't have a quote influencing theme in your top five, we do all four domains every single day. We get things done, we execute, we think, we build relationships one-on-one, and we influence. So we act in all four domains every single day. It's just which strengths do we ask to rise to the top to do that? And I would say your positivity 100%, you know, brings that light into the room, which has the power to influence, right? So anyway, back to my original point, which is when we have strengths that come together and make these little strengths babies, they show up totally different. So futuristic and woo, right? So you're moving forward, like moving, and you're in the future, and woo as a strength theme pays attention to exactly what's in front of you. So your best friend is the person who you're talking to. And that's who you're connecting with. And really no one else in the room matters, right? When that is the case. So what happens is that we tend to sort of out of sight, out of mind. And I have woo in my top five, Patty. So I feel your pain on this. I spent a lot of years kind of beating myself up for why am I not better at follow-up? Like I haven't called this friend in 6 months and, you know, yada, yada. It's because I'm always focused on the person in front of me. So the good news is that you can now take that knowledge about how this theme works and use it to your advantage, either by setting reminders in your Google Calendar, like, you know, once a quarter, I got to call this friend. And that's not, there's no guilt that needs to come with that. The other thing you can do is just tell your friends, hey, you know, if I don't call you, it's not because I don't love you. I just like, I'm out and doing my thing. But woo will do that where it's focused on exactly what's in front of them. So it tends to forget what's happened before. Right. And that's a great thing because it means that you can, you know, sort of forget the pains and keep taking risks in your business and that kind of thing, keep making new friends and all of that. But you also then have to sort of set a time in your business, in your life to sit down and go, okay, this is my time to actually reflect on what's come before me. And so that can be a really good tactic for remembering both the good and the bad, not just the grudges. But I think that kind of makes sense as to why you're like, oh, I don't really know. Like the past is the past. And, you know, I'm focused on what's in front of me right now. And I'm going to make connections right now. And an interesting thing, I know I'm rambling on, but just bear with me. The interesting thing, Pat, is that you have woo and relater. So relater doesn't like small talk. It likes to go deep and it likes to have real conversation. It typically shows up as a bit more of an introverted theme, whereas Wu can be introverted but tends to be more extroverted. And Wu likes to have lots and lots of friends, and Relator is like, I have three friends and that's all I need. And you have both of those in your top five, which I think is such a neat combo because it means that you can have lots and lots of friends and also go deep with those friends and really be able to connect with them on a deeper level, which makes this work, the work that you guys are doing, even more meaningful and I think and more impactful. And so from an outsider's perspective, I would say, Pat, that's one of the things that you bring to the table is the ability to connect quickly and then go deep with people. And I think that will behoove you for your documentary.
Good.
I agree.
That's good to know. All right. Well, let's get started.
Right? Exactly. No, exactly.
That's what I'm supposed to say.
You know, she's selling herself a teeny bit short when she says that she isn't an influencer, because if you ever saw her on stage or perform, or totally an influencer. Her energy that she brings into the room is incredible and everybody picks up on it. And if I'm ever in a group and then I bring Sam into that group later, and these are people that I connect with and they're my friends, but it never fails. From now on, whenever I show up at that group, they're like, where's Sam? It's like, okay, but remember we were friends before I brought her.
Be my friend. I want you to be my friend. We just want Sam. Yeah. It's all good. You don't have to feel bad. the last couple of themes that I want to chime in on briefly is, Pat, your belief as a theme. Belief is very purpose-driven. So you add that purpose-driven executing theme, right? Because the belief is an executing theme because that purpose drive actually pushes you to get things done. That's why it's in that domain, which is really cool. And then Sam, your harmony has the ability to find common ground, right? That's what harmony's joyous superpower is to find that common ground. So even in the midst of possibly counseling or coaching a couple who might not be able to see eye to eye, you can have this really great role as a mediator and, you know, helping them see the common ground and then working from there, which is fantastic. I mean, just really a beautiful thing. So yeah, you guys are amazing. And I can't wait till your documentary comes out. And I would love to be interviewed for that documentary if, you know, space happens to allow or whatever.
Perfect.
So what's the very next thing on your docket? Is it coaching? Is it? Oh yeah. Very cool. Mm-hmm. That's right. Do you have a name for your podcast?
We do, but you said this. Well, actually, it's not cussing. It's called Doggy Style.
Oh, very cool.
But it's about we're interviewing other couples, and so we want to interview couples that have, you know, usually there's an outspoken personality. So you've agreed to be on our podcast. It's great. Yeah. You're this public persona with your podcast and your Facebook and all these things, but every couple usually has a behind the scenes spouse.
Yes.
So the man behind the woman, or the woman behind the man.
The woman behind the woman, or the man behind the man. Yeah, depending on the couple.
Very cool.
Doggy Style.
We're hoping that by the time this podcast airs, that Doggy Style, okay, I can't laugh when I say it, that Doggy Style, their new podcast, will be live. It is not quite what you guys might think, but it's going to be great. And they've agreed to let me come on the podcast. So that's even cooler.
We might set a record for the most one-time only downloads.
Right, because they think it might be something a little different than it is. You'll have to really be strategic about your description and your keywords that you use there. Very cool. So
I thought of a new way to describe it too, like Doggy Style. You know how dogs are?
Oh boy!
Just go with me for a second. You know how dogs, when they are great unconditional lovers. Mm. You know, you come into the room and they're just so happy to see you, and they're always happy, and they love you no matter if you're having a bad day or you're having a good day. So there's another twist on that, on our Doggy Style name.
Yeah, I like that. I really do. I really do. So
I do too.
every business, no matter how successful you are, how driven you are, how purpose-driven, how many superpowers you bring to the table, has challenges. So what is the biggest challenge that the two of you are facing right now in your business and or life?
So I have my own challenge that I'm facing right now that Sam's not, so we'll have a different answer. You can do yours first if you want.
I was going to say in our business with mm-hmm. regards to Bigger Love and our podcast and this movement that we're starting, I think our biggest challenge is neither one of us gets too excited about social media.
Yeah.
We don't really understand Twitter still. We're trying to think it's fun, but neither one of us really is that engaged. I think trying to get involved in the social media and being excited about that has been, we just haven't been able to.
I think you can go deeper on that challenge. That's a surface business challenge right there. Let's go a little deeper.
Well, I think we can dive in a little bit deeper. And there's a couple of different ways that I think you could address this challenge. Number one, you know, in the pre-chat, we actually talked about how social media can be very surface, very superficial. And as much as we are trying to quote connect, we're disconnected. And I know that's my personal pushback to social media. And mm-hmm. I've had to really figure out how to engage in social media in a way that feels like I'm actually having a conversation with people, not just a spouting my expertise, which nobody wants that. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to put myself above anybody or anything like that. Do I have value to share? Of course, we all do. But how do you have a conversation on social media like you would in person? It's a different skill set, right? So I wonder if maybe that's part of your pushback on the social media. What is the dislike for social media?
Why do we not like it?
Yeah.
You pretty much listed a lot of the reasons. It just seems so superficial for me. And then especially the Twitter thing, and maybe I just need more education on it, but you have to do all these things in order to get more followers, and it's not organic. I love organic stuff. I love building, you know, just with raw materials. And so you said this, like just spouting your words or cut and pasting somebody else's words and then doing it 3 times a day so that more people will see it and you have more visibility and you end up in more people's feeds so that you can get more likes. And it's, but what's the point? So, and it's necessary because what we want to do is we need to achieve a certain level of visibility in order to get through the door.
Well, and also to have our message heard. I mean, I think we have a very important message and I believe in that. So I want it to be heard. It just doesn't, like he said, it just doesn't feel very organic when you're posting things. I don't know.
Feels forced and awkward.
Yeah.
I love this because oftentimes our challenges come directly from how we're wired, from our strength themes. So Patty, you actually said the words, what's the point, right? Belief as a strength theme must have a purpose. It must have something meaningful that it's driving towards, right? So without a point, belief is like, I'm not moving. Like I'm not doing anything. This doesn't have a point. The other thing you said was about the superficial aspect of it. You've got woo and relator. Like you want to connect with people for real. And so that can be a challenge. Sam, I'm wondering if for you, one of your pushbacks is all of the very polarized one-sided banter that goes on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because Harmony would have a very difficult time with that. Like, just want to shut down. Like, I'm going to unfollow this person because they're spouting and they're angry or they're this or they're that. They only want their opinion heard. And also would point to, I don't want to just like put my opinion out there and be done with it because Harmony wants to find common ground, right? So,
In fact, I don't even, to be honest, I probably get on Facebook once or twice a week. And most of it is apologizing because I didn't see a lot of posts or people, you know, whatever's happening. So, I think you're right.
Isn't that interesting? So interesting. If you can look at it. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, there's another layer to it while we're talking about it. And for me, I tend to own things and take them personally. It's been a lifelong challenge and it's something I'm getting better at, but I'm still haven't perfected. So when you do show some vulnerability and put yourself out there and then you get any kind of negative feedback or you get ignored or you don't feel supported, I mean, then all of a sudden, or like Twitter is a great example. We had 20 followers, 8 or 9 of which were our friends, just did it because, you know,
you asked them to.
Yeah.
But I made a couple of posts and we went from like 17 to 20 and I was like, oh, we got momentum. Isn't this awesome? And then like 2 days later, we would drop back down to 19. And I'm like, what the hell? Dropped off? And what did I write?
Yes. Okay. So woo in overuse is a people pleaser, right? Because woo loves to meet people, connect with them and make new friends. And if for whatever reason, somebody doesn't like you, it can feel like, oh, am I not good enough? A lot of my old story of I'm not good enough, I need to be better, et cetera, comes from my woo wiring. I mean, there's lots of other stuff that happened as well, right? But woo loves to make people happy. It loves to see people smiling. And so if you're not getting that positive affirmation feedback from the people that you are engaging with, it can be really challenging. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why I stopped getting notifications for people who opted out of my email list, because everyone hurt my feelings. I was like, I can't even see this, right? Because I thought, oh, I must be bothering them, or I'm not giving good enough content and all of that. And so when I removed that, it took it off the plate, right? And woo will pay attention to what's in front of you. So, you know, not that you want to ignore constructive feedback, right? There's a place for that. But what is going to be helpful in promoting you forward and getting your message out? And so, Pat, for you, as you're thinking about social media posts and engagement, really diving into and holding on to what is the mission here? Like keeping that mission foremost in your mind as you're creating any post, and then recognizing that momentum does take time. And that positivity, the 17 to 20 followers, that's totally positivity. Like, woo, we're winning. And then that little bit of backsliding, like, oh, no, I'm not winning. Right. So being patient with that momentum as you guys create it. And, you know, really sitting down, and you might have to hire a strategist, but sitting down and figuring out how can we actually engage with people? Like, even if, you know, maybe the goal is I engage with one person a day, right? That's a really good way of building that organic connection on social media. So, you know, it might be that you hire out some of the strategy and posts and, you know, like Facebook ads and all of that kind of stuff. I think that, you know, there is definitely a place for having an expert do that stuff. But if the real resistance behind it is what's the point, and I don't want to tick anybody off, and I want to have it in engaging conversations and really promote that real talk, then, you know, you can kind of start the conversation in a little different manner. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do you guys have a space where a forum of some sort, the forum sounds so old, but like a Facebook group or, you know, a LinkedIn group or, you know, something like that, that allows you to have real conversation with people?
We have Bigger Love Book on Facebook.
Okay. And how are you guys engaging that community right now? My guess is not a lot, because you've got this sort of like, oh, I hate social media thing, right?
I have a goal. Actually, it's not a goal because I've written it down, but I have a mental idea that I want to post on there, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. And it might be happening once every 10 days tops right now.
Okay.
I just had a really good post while we were talking too, so I'll probably post there today.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So, and when you're intending to post 3 to 4 times a week, and you're only ending up sort of getting to it once a week, can you talk a little bit about what your resistance is? Is it just something that falls off the radar because it doesn't seem useful or seems a little pointless? Or is there another reason?
No, it's the reason that we've already kind of touched on it. When I think about it, I'm like, I need to post something. And Facebook's great at reminding you, hey, we have all these people that aren't getting, you know, you're not in your group. 106 people in Bigger Love book that I haven't heard from you in a while. So, and then I'm like, okay, well, I need to go put something in there, but then it stops feeling natural again. It feels forced. And so I hesitate, and then I get to doing something else and I forget. So,
well, and you're, you know, you want to put something out there that's, I mean, for me, I'm like, well, what can I think of? Yeah. What can I think of that will have value? If I repeat stuff that's in the book, is that valuable? Especially if all these people have already read the book, you know, there's a, I don't know. I overanalyze it for me.
Yeah. Have you ever asked the group what they, what would be valuable to them?
Oh, we never thought of that.
Yeah, no, we haven't.
Good idea. Thank you. I appreciate that. So one of the reasons that we sometimes don't do that, and this is totally reasonable, like it's understandable why we don't do that. What if I do a video, put it in the group, ask them what they want, and I hear crickets? Right? Then there's that natural feeling of rejection. There is the, oh my gosh, maybe these people aren't really in the group. They just kind of are in the group. Right? And so like it can shake your confidence that way. So, you know, the procrastination or the fear behind even asking that question is often, what if they don't want to hear from me? Right?
Great thing about Facebook is they have a delete button now.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So when we start to recognize what some of those fears are, we can start to build strategies around, okay, well, if nobody responds to this post, I'll just delete it. No big deal. No harm, no foul. Or you might try, hey, I'm going to do a word post today. I'm going to do a word post with pictures, with a picture tomorrow or, you know, later on next week. And I'm going to do a Facebook Live, you know, the following week and see, you know, which engages people more. And then there's some evidence that videos are the most engaging, but you know, to be honest, if I'm in a group of people and I'm spinning through Facebook, I'm not going to turn the audio on a video. I'm going to want to read it. So it depends on who your audience is, what kind of post they're going to best respond to. I would also say make it easy for them, because that will be, I mean, and GIFs or GIFs, whatever you call them, are a really great way to, for people to, in a fun way, engage. So I'll ask that in my Facebook group, like, you know, what are you most grateful for today? Put a GIF down in there or a GIF. I don't know. Is it GIF or GIF? I don't know. Anyway, and it's really fun getting that. Yeah. It's really fun getting that feedback from them because it's easy and it's fun and it's happy. So that's another way you can do it. You can also do a survey or a poll in your Facebook group saying, you know, what's the biggest challenge? Or, you know, it's hard. It's a harder question for people to answer. What do you want from me? You know, what would be valuable to you? People are going to be able to answer the question of where their biggest challenge is, or, you know, in marriage and love, you really do have to create a space where it's okay for them to be vulnerable. And so you might have to reiterate, hey, this is a safe space, no judgment. Like, you guys have read the book, right? So you know that we haven't always had the most shiny times. What is your biggest challenge you're facing in your marriage right now? You know, so creating that sort of safe space where people can say, hey, you know what? My husband and I haven't talked in 3 days. And, you know, I don't know how to start that conversation, because, you know, now it feels like too long. I mean, like, wow, if someone is vulnerable enough to share that challenge, well, now you can create a blog post, a video, or whatever that could say, hey, so we got this question this week in the Facebook group, and it was such a great question. It was such an important challenge. And so we wanted to address it in a video. Here you go.
Yeah, right? Cool.
And now there's purpose behind what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that does feel.
It all feels like almost every suggestion you gave us is
gold.
I can get behind it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, man, that would work. Oh, I can do that. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. So. Well, you'll have this recording, so you'll be able to actually go back and listen, even if you're not taking notes. And I sure hope you are. But when we look at the challenges that we're having, you know, and the shoulds come up for us, look at what is my resistance to it. Because social media is the bane of most entrepreneurs' existences, right? We know that it's important for visibility and all yada yada, all the things that you shared. But my resistance to social media may be very different than your resistance. So what is the background resistance? And now we can pull out those ultimate strengths resource guides that I sent you guys and look at, well, what do my strengths need? right? Because we have to feed our strengths in order to let them thrive. That feeling of stuck or suffocation, we actually feel it physically when our strengths aren't being fed. So how can you feed your positivity? How can you feed your harmony? What question can you ask your community that will help them to find common ground in their marriage? Right? How can you feed your belief? How can you feed that futuristic? Maybe you have a shiny, happy post once a week of what's your vision for the future of your marriage, right? Something that will feed those strength themes. And now it's fun. And it's not just something, and it still doesn't mean that you don't hire out some of your social media if you can afford it. I'm a huge fan of that. And it was one of the best hires that I have ever made because it just took a little pressure off. And I didn't have to think so hard about the strategy. We could talk it out. And I love talking it out with somebody else to go, yeah, this is what I want. And it's still me. It's still my content, but I don't have to do the nitty gritty of, you know, finding all the right pictures or, you know, scheduling all the posts and that kind of thing. It's still me. It's just someone's helping to facilitate that. And there's not a darn thing wrong with that. Right. So,
I love that idea too.
Yeah, really good hire. I use TH. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. if you're looking for a great marketing agency, I use THW Marketing. And she is amazing, Teresa and her team. She is actually over in London, but she is that good that I was like, I will go international to get you. So I will definitely post Teresa's website in the show notes page for those of you who are looking for a great social media marketer / marketer in general, who can really help you to get your message out. So,
it's also Sam, really fast way to keep your business international.
What's that? That's the best. Yeah, right. It's
a really fast way to keep your business international.
Exactly. So, Sam and Patty, where can people find you? How can people get on board with this mission to help you get it to more people, to get on board and get their marriages in a place that sort of safeguards them from their own divorce, etc.? How can people find you?
We're on Facebook at biggerlovebook.com. Not .com, just Bigger Love Book. Yep. We have a website, biggerlove.com.
And Amazon. We have our book is on Amazon, a Kindle's on Amazon. We recorded the audiobook ourselves. That's also on Audible and iTunes.
Yeah, and the book's written, he said, she said, so it might be kind of fun to listen to it. I don't know.
It was fun recording it.
Yeah, we had fun recording it.
It's fun writing it.
Very cool. I haven't, I love listening to books. I've read your book, but I haven't listened to it. And I think I might go buy it on Audible so I can actually listen to it because I think that would be super amazing. Cool. So biggerlove.com. And I think you might actually have a little gift for the people listening. Yeah.
We have a little gift for your listeners. So we will give you a couple of the chapters, our favorite chapters. We're going to post those out on our website at biggerlovebook.com/FAE. Freaking awesome entrepreneurs.
Awesome.
Okay. So check it out and go download that.
Beautiful. All right. So biggerlovebook.com/FAE. Sam and Patty, your mission, what you're creating in this world is so impactful and important. And I am glad that I can be a part of that megaphone to help you get the visibility that you guys need in order to make this come to fruition. I appreciate you taking time today. I appreciate you sharing all of the things that make you freaking awesome, as well as sharing your challenges, your very real challenges, because you are not alone. And by you guys sharing, you will help everybody who's listening to solve the same problem. And that's what it's all about, is together we can do better. And there's enough for everybody to go around. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, Alyssa, thank you so much. This was amazing. And we know that we're going to rock all the advice that you gave us.
Yep. Woohoo. All right, you guys, we will catch you on the flip side. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Alyssa. You.
And now it's time for the podcast recommendation of the week. If you're anything like Patty and Sam, you might not love social media, but know that you need to do it. So once we can get through how we're going to go about doing it using our strengths, we need some actual knowledge, right? Well, our podcast recommendation of the week is the Social Media Marketing Podcast with Michael Stelzner. Now, Michael Stelzner is one of the best known social media experts out there. On the podcast, he interviews leading social media pros, shares success stories, and teaches actionable strategies and tactics to improve your social media marketing. Here's why I like it. It's really good information, and I can search the episodes for what I want to learn. The episodes are topically named and allows me to learn exactly what I want and listen to just the episodes that pertain to me. In a sea of so much information, I can focus truly on what is pertinent for me. You can find the Social Media Marketing Podcast with Michael Stelzner on iTunes or anywhere else you like to listen to podcasts. Thank you for tuning in today. As entrepreneurs, we often find ourselves alone, or at least feeling that way, but you're not. By listening here, you are already a part of a great community of like-minded business owners. If you want to be even more active in this community, join us on Facebook. You'll find the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Group full of activity and not to mention unique opportunities. To join today, simply head over to daretosucceed.com/FAE and request access. See you in there. Until next time, keep being frickin' awesome.